Welcome to Comically Comics, your one-stop listen to all things comics. We're talking books, movies, TV shows, video games, and more. I must forewarn you, though, we are a spoiler cast, and what that means is we consider all properties, past, future, and present, to be valid, and we will spoil the hell out of them. I'm your host, Michael, along with my two co-hosts, Richard and Jeremy, and with all that being said, let's get started.
All right, it is Sunday, June 28th, and we are back for a review of the movie Supergirl, 2026 Supergirl. I have to say, oh goodness.
We are getting monetized. No, I'm kidding. Demonetized.
I'm about to say demonetized. Oh, that's hilarious. All right, so Supergirl, this is supposed to be influenced by Tom King's One of Tomorrow, which we did a review of that last week. So if you want to hear that, go and watch or listen to that episode, because we're doing that shit now on YouTube. So there you go.
Yeah. You can see all of our beautiful faces.
Right? So, first appearances, we've got Supergirl, Kara Zor-El in Action Comics number 252 from 1959, Lobo Omega Man number 3 from 1983, and then we're going to say Ruthie and Crim of the Yellow Hills, Supergirl One of Tomorrow number 1 from 2021. And so this movie pretty much features the same adventure that Supergirl and Ruthie go on in the comic book, but with twists. So, Jeremy, what is your whelming of Supergirl, the movie?
Let me just first say this again, just to reiterate, I hate you two, because like now I know things before going into these movies, and it messes me up. I was telling somebody that the other day, like I was like, you know, sometimes I'd miss my old life where I just went into a movie blissfully and just, you know, was there for the movie. but no, I will say I'm whelmed to pleasantly whelmed. I enjoyed the movie for the most part. It was a decent movie, but like, I think honestly, my biggest complaint, well, not big, but like one of my issues in there, and obviously we'll get more into it, but like I just didn't feel like the movie did as good a job of painting that redemptive character to Supergirl. Like, you know, at the end of the, like we talked about with the comic book, at the end of it, you got to kind of see in the like previous scenes where it was building up and she was actually doing this for Ruthie's benefit. Mm-hmm. And you just didn't get that in the movie.
If you're not watching this on YouTube, you need to be, because Richard's over here like, preach.
Yeah, no, I am. Sorry, Jeremy. Do you have more?
That was really bad, because like that was my main, and obviously there we can get into other things, but that was my main thing there.
Yeah. I wrote that had I separated myself from the source material, I probably would have been whelmed with this movie. I think that now that I can't separate myself from this source material, I'm kind of underwhelmed with this movie. And it's because they just missed the complete fucking point of the comic book. And it's what Jeremy's been saying of like, she has a lot of trauma, but she doesn't let it define her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We need a moment in the movie where she overcomes the trauma and becomes the symbol of hope that is Superman and Supergirl to both Ruthie and the audience. That doesn't fucking happen.
Yeah.
Because, well, we can get into that later. You go ahead, Michael.
Oh, so if you'd asked me when we first got out of this what I thought, I probably would have said whelmed. However, the more that I've thought about it, the more I'm like getting underwhelmed by it. And it's the same principle as what y'all are saying of like, and I even sent y'all the article of Variety of like the screenwriter that did this, which honestly has me kind of worried, because apparently she is attached to the Teen Titans movie and the Wonder Woman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know what she was trying to do with the movie, but it was just a really bad choice to try and use Tom King's story to do it with. So I feel like I have a way of fixing it, but it's probably not practical. And but yeah, overall, I'm just underwhelmed with it, really. Like, I'm underwhelmed to whelmed. Like, it's an okay movie to me. It didn't really hit anything for me. I will say that for me, I would read Tom King's Supergirl One or tomorrow before I watch this movie again. Like, if I was going for this.
That is the best damn endorsement I think you could ever get.
I would absolutely recommend Tom King's story before I recommended this movie. Yeah, and that does say a lot, I think, for me anyways.
That says so much.
And I hate it because, like, speaking for somebody that obviously really has minimal, you know, knowledge of comics, and especially with Supergirl and this being the main introduction, and you know, in the actual movies, this being the introduction for Supergirl, like, it's just, I really wanted this one to do well, because I really, like, I enjoyed the overall plot line, the overall, like I said, the redemption of Supergirl there. And I really wanted this to show that. And I was like, dang it, man. Like, that, like, there's so much, and, you know, like, even I get, like, they couldn't do all the things from the comic book. Like, there was a moment whenever they were in the bus and there's something happened. I was like, oh, please be the dragon. Please be the dragon. Please be the dragon. But of course, it was not the dragon.
Since we're on there, though, one of my notes was, while I didn't get the, like, Reds and her becoming Jean Grey and fighting a space dragon, I did enjoy the visuals of everything on the bus with the weird, like, not Ravagers, like, teleporting all over the place. I thought that was a cool visual. And another thing that I love about this movie, all the damn creatures, whether they be VFX or practical, all of them are cool and weird looking, and I really enjoy it. Like, they look something straight out of, like, a Star Wars movie. It's just a nice, cool design. We got, weirdly, Seth Rogen in this movie. I didn't see that. That was not on my bingo card.
He's pretty great, though. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, no, he is. But I was just like, wasn't expecting him to be in this movie.
He's a big comic book fan. I wasn't expecting it either, but it was a nice little treat. So, especially knowing that, like, he's a big comic book fan too.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I honestly like a lot of the adaptations they tried to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, like, you know, I didn't mind them changing the bus up. It made sense for the story, and, like, they used it to kind of set up Kara getting to the Yellow Sun and showing her powers off. And honestly, her flying through space and whatnot, I was like, that looks pretty good. I didn't have a problem with the way that stuff looked. It looked like they did a lot of practical costumes as well. And so I was like, I was pleased with that visually. I think the humor sucked, but that was about it.
You know what the bus reminded me of? It's Harry Potter's night bus. It's just flipped. Like there was in the night bus, it was an old man driving the bus, and then, like, what are those what are they called? The little heads,
the shrunken heads.
Yeah, the shrunken heads.
Oh yeah, shrunken heads. Yeah.
Same thing. So I saw an old man thing driving, and then some little thing comes out here, like, hey.
That's funny.
They're both owned by WB, so
yeah.
Maybe it was a nod.
Superman doesn't kill, right?
No, not he has, usually, but not typically. No, I think they're trying to establish with this one is he didn't, or he at least tries not to. Actually, no, I take that back. They said something about, like, killing that one kaiju, but, like, humanely.
Oh, one of the big things that I know, this jumping to the end, but, like, that really got is just her killing Krim. I'm like, man, I don't know, I just didn't like that part.
I weirdly did. because, again, I'm trying to separate myself from the source material. So, like, this Kara still hasn't really gotten over her trauma. And this Kara, they are really trying to hammer home that she is much different than her cousin. And I think that may come up in the future. Like, not that, like, hey, I killed Krim of the Yellow Hills, but, like, I'm okay with killing people. And Clark will be like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that, because a lot of it goes back to what her mother was saying to her. And it was that, like, be a good person. That doesn't mean that you have to be nice. That doesn't mean that you can't be tough. But be a good person. And so what that was meaning to her was that, like, yeah, she could have let Krim go, but he's just going to go right back to doing what he's doing, which then brings up the whole, like, you know, Superman's all about justice and truth and all that other jazz. And so, like, he's going to sit there and let the system do its job.
Yeah.
It's same with Batman. Like, that whole argument of, if Batman really wanted to save so many people, he would have gone ahead and off the Joker. Well, we're establishing here that Kara will just off him, because that makes the most sense. Like, this person needs to go. There's no rehabilitating them. There's no making it better. Now, comparing it, you know, to the story that we read, I think the ending was better in that than here.
Yeah.
But I know they're also stuck with doing, like, a movie. And I agree with what Richard was saying as well, is, like, they're trying to establish that, like, Kara is not female Superman.
Yeah.
Like, she is her own thing. She's Supergirl. So,
and I guess it would be difficult to, I mean, with the, in the comic book, you know, whenever they jump to that 300 years later type thing. I mean, she does obviously look older and everything. So, yeah, because there was that part of me was like, in that moment, I was like, dang it, I wish they would have. But at the same time, I was like, well, I mean, would they have been able to do something like that as far as showing her looking older or anything? And I think that would have been a lot more difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. You could just say, because Kryptonians do not age as quickly as humans.
Yeah.
You could say that 300 years have passed. Ruthie looks old. We get, like, an old actress to play old Ruthie. And right. It still looks like the main actress, Millie Alcock.
Right.
And she's released Krim, and Krim is old. But also, the comics has the benefit of having all the history with everything super person related. Whereas this one's trying to establish a new universe. Mm. So they want to set up this whole, like, Kara is, again, I keep saying, is different than Clark.
Yeah.
I also feel, though, you could have done that ending and it still would have made Kara different than Clark.
Mm.
Because in the book, Kara didn't stop Ruthie from smashing him. That's true. Like, she let him go ahead and do it.
That's true.
And she probably knew what was going to happen, which I feel like the movie also solidifies or backs up the idea that when Ruthie hit him in the comic, that he died.
I reread those pages again, and I was looking at it. Krim, he gets hit, and then he, like, grabs his nose at the end. So I'm assuming he is still alive, but, you know, whatever, to each their own. I think it's left ambiguous for this exact reason to add debate. But yeah. But yeah, the thing that annoyed me was me and Jeremy thought that she had one kind of accent. And then in the movie, she has a British accent. And I was like, man, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Like, she should have had a Southern accent. Why the fuck did she have this British accent?
I told you.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, I was, again, knowing the daggum comic. I was not very happy with how they did her. Like, I mean, to an extent, I was okay with her. And then obviously Krim, that was just terrible. But, like, with her, you know, in the comic, like, she very, like, country type living, like, just very bare minimum, and didn't know about ships and stuff like that, like outer space stuff. Until Supergirl. So, but in the movie, she knows all the things and about all the ships and stuff.
Yeah, they changed so much about this movie with a lot of the characters and just the main story, because I don't like that Krim kills everybody that Ruthie is related to. Like, yeah. She kills his brother, she kills his mom, or she kills her brother, her mom, and her father. I don't like this weird, like, Ruthie's dad is like a sword maker. Like, why did that have to get changed? Why couldn't it just have been Krim's, like, he's just an asshole who goes around murdering people, and he murdered her father and left a sword in him. Like, yeah. I didn't like any of that. And her constantly being like, this sword, you know, it's amazing sword. I'll give it to you if you help me kill Krim of the Yellow Hills. The, like, origin for Krim is completely different, which I kind of touched on that. I will say this. The thing I like about Krim, in the comic, Krim feels more of a coward. And, like, he gets lucky on most of his things and escapes and runs off to the next planet.
Yeah.
This Krim is very fucking formidable.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he feels like he could take on Supergirl.
Yeah.
And I liked that about it. His overall design and everything, he's gross to look at. He looks looks bad, in my opinion. He just looks bad. And I know he's the bad guy. And maybe they didn't want to make him look like a ginger elf man, but something could have been done. You could have, like, I wish they would have gave Ruthie her, like, headpiece, that weird, like, jewelry headpiece that they had.
Yeah.
I wish they would have gave her, like, purple eyes. Maybe you could give the elf ears, give her some more, like, weird alien jewelry, and then Krim has, like, weird alien jewelry instead of, like, these, I don't know, this, like, weird, again, I keep going to Ravager, like, aesthetics.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are talking Mad Max feels.
I could see that.
You know, Guardians of the Galaxy feels. And, like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, I keep hearing people say that, you know, it just feels like Guardians of the Galaxy. And I was like, that's the one thing that sucks, is because James Gunn didn't write this. James Gunn didn't direct this. James Gunn didn't do shit with this other than say, yes, go ahead and do that movie. Like, that's all he did.
Yeah, that's one of the things I looked up. He looked at the script and said, yeah, like, he greenlit it. He looked at the script and was like, yes, let's do this. That is the only thing he did with this movie. And I saw an article talking about how this movie is like a bad karaoke version of Guardians of the Galaxy. How it's just, like, off key and not on. And it really is, because it tries to do the pop, like, music in certain scenes.
Man.
And it just does not work.
No.
There is not, in my opinion, there's not a single one that works. And I hate that.
Yeah.
Because those are some of the fun parts of the movies, when you get to an action scene and they throw some random song in there that works with the scene, and you're like, okay, shit, I can vibe with this.
Yeah.
But then the last fight scene
with this
slowed down.
Like the Jimmy Eat World, you know, in the middle song. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
And what's even funnier is I saw somebody take that song, or, like, maybe it didn't sound like the original, but it sound like it was in between, and they put it with, like, Clark's big fight scene and Superman, but they didn't slow down the fight. They just put the song in and it worked for that fight. Mm-hmm. Like, it was fine. And I was like, so maybe if they'd done it fast, I don't know, but it just, like, we got to that last scene and the song kicked in. And I was like, fuck off. Like, what is this?
I don't know. It's like they got there and they were like, she was in the middle of all that. And they're like, hey, what's the song with middle? And like, oh, Jimmy World. There you go. In the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of me is like, were they pandering to the millennials with that song? Like, what, like, I don't know. But the other thing, since we're kind of on it, because it specifically in that scene, the visuals for this movie suck. Like,
really?
compared to the comic, compared to Superman, like, think of Corn Sweat's Superman.
Yeah.
We had so many crazy, colorful visuals.
Yeah.
And there was so much bright color palette. This color palette is poop. It's just brown. The entire movie is just brown.
Yeah.
And you look at the source material and it's like pastels and reds and yellows and purples.
Swirls.
And yeah. And like, and I was so ready to see some cool ass shit on screen. Nothing. Just mostly brown. And I was like, man, fuck off.
Yeah, I think it was in that article I sent y'all that was like, or no, it was a Reddit thread or whatever. And they were like, we're going to get this. We're going to have this source material here and we're going to dive. We're going to pull from it and all of that stuff. But we're not going to bring any of the color. All that stays in the comic book. No.
And then they have the gall at the end of the credits to like give a special thanks to Tom King and what's her name? Bill Keys Everly, the artist for the comic. And I'm like, if I was both of them, I'd be like, don't put my name on this.
The color stuff probably would have leaned more towards Guardians, but I think it would have been in a good way, though. Yeah. Like, I think visually that would have been acceptable. Like, I would have liked to have seen that. So, I don't know. And then Krim, like, y'all were talking about his costume and stuff a minute ago. Like he's... First off, I've heard a lot of people sit there and talk about, like, you don't see Krim much and his acting sucks. And I'm like, well, the story's not really about Krim. And it's not really about him being a villain. It's not supposed to be anyways. So, I'm fine with him not being there and I'm fine with him being a throwaway villain, honestly. Two... His acting, I was fine with that. Like,
same.
It made him more menacing, is what it did to me. It was very much a guy, like, didn't give a fuck kind of thing. And those guys as villains, I think, are more interesting to me. Because it's like, what will make him give a fuck kind of thing. And three, he should have had the easiest fucking costume. You just make him a ginger pirate. That's it.
Ginger pirate.
You put some fucking pants and some boots on him and you're done. What the fuck are we doing? Why? I don't understand. And you could have gave him the same shit at the end. And I don't have to have this giant Pirates of the Caribbean boat in the sky looking like Peter Pan and shit. Like, I don't need that. I could have had the same spaceship, but just make him a ginger pirate. Done.
I'm thinking
ginger beard.
I'm thinking of this like awesome version where Alan Tudyk plays the pirate from Dodgeball because he's a ginger pirate in that as well.
That's and, hilarious.
There's a parallel universe where that happened, and I want to see that movie. That sounds really funny.
But like, you could have saved so much time on makeup and everything, especially with like his cronies and stuff like that. Which. Speaking of his cronies, I like how they did Lobo. I don't feel like Lobo stole the show. I feel like he was there for somewhat of a purpose. Of course, he was like a cameo, but he at least had something that was outside of like help Supergirl and Ruthie. It was a like, fuck y'all. I've got my own mission I'm doing. Like, help me get out of this cell. And I thought, you know, like everybody said, Jason Momoa is just kind of being Jason Momoa and it just fits Lobo is what it comes down to. Like, they just... They seem to be one and the same, and that's okay. My wife was like, I don't know anything about Lobo, but like, I feel like Jason Momoa did a good job, but he's just, is he supposed to look like that? I was like, yeah, he's supposed to look like he's a Kiss knockoff. That's exactly.
He's supposed to look like a Kiss knockoff or like a roadie from Metallica or something. Like,
well, she was specifically, she was like, is he supposed to look painted? I was like, well, that's actually supposed to be his skin color, but yes, like, because you know who Jason Momoa is and does look a lot alike. Like, it's obvious that he's got paint on. So,
I wrote that Lobo was barely in this, and he's like in maybe three scenes. And I feel like he was only added to this movie to drum up the hype.
Maybe.
I think it was just to drum up hype of like Jason Momoa is finally going to be Lobo because the entire internet, myself included, has been screaming that he should be Lobo since day one. And at first he had me worried. Like when we first see him in the bar.
Yeah.
I was worried because I was like, this doesn't feel like Lobo to me. And then when, especially I didn't like his voice, I'm still not a fan of his voice. Maybe it's because of the Superman animated series, but like, I was just not a fan of his Lobo voice. Honestly, when he was Aquaman in the Snyder movies, he was putting on a more deeper, like,
guy dressed up like a bat. Cool, I can dig it.
Like, I feel like that was more Lobo than what we got in the movie. But he won me over with the him locked up in prison scene. I was like, okay, that's Lobo. Like, that's Lobo for sure.
I was kind of like, I know he wasn't in there, obviously very little. And part of me was like, why do we need him in this kind of thing? Like, there was, but I mean, at the same time, like, I enjoyed him too. I just, it was one of those that like, okay, he could be in there or not. It really wouldn't have bothered me.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have changed.
I'm very curious, especially since my wife has the luxury of turning to me and going, who the fuck is Lobo?
Right.
I'm curious to know what the audience thinks. Cause I know there's been tons of talk of like Jason Momoa is playing Lobo. Yeah. And I know there are average moviegoers who are like, when they go in to see it, they're like, cool, here's Jason Momoa's Lobo. Who the fuck is Lobo? Why does he look that way? Why is he acting that way? Like, all this stuff. Like, I'm very curious to know what everyone thinks.
I mean, well, yeah, I was gonna say, like, you kind of had my opinion. Yeah. I mean, because, like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know anything about him. So, I mean,
you have at least read two comics that he's been in.
Yeah, but it doesn't help me any.
He doesn't remember.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, that's been like, what, 3 or 4 days ago, maybe? But.
What did we read with him in it? Oh, we read the Paramilitary Christmas.
Yeah, you're right. Never mind. It's just one comic. My bad.
Okay.
Which, that's all Lobo. Like, all. Yeah. All fucking Lobo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm like, sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
It was one of those that, like, I. Yeah. He could have been in there. He could have not. He really wouldn't have. And I guess that was kind of the point of him being in there. Yeah. Like, he was just there, like you said, as kind of like a fanfare. So it's nothing that really took away from the story, and it didn't add to the story really.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. It felt like this was him showing up in the book, and then there's a tie-in book that will show up later explaining all the things and how he led up to being in the prison cell and at the bar and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of like him being able to either be in it or not, I honestly feel like to possibly fix this, this would have been better as like an HBO Max special presentation instead of a theatrical thing. I feel like you could have got rid of this whole, you know, sex trafficking eluding theme, and to save money as well, like got rid of Lobo and that story there, and really just hunkered down and done like a hour and a half max. You know what I mean? And no pun intended.
Yeah, that's but for like HBO Max.
For like an HBO Max special. Yeah. I feel like this story, this origin style story for Kara would have been much better as a HBO Max special.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. The sex trafficking thing was weird and it went nowhere other than just, hey, Kara saves the girls at the end. Like, there was a
right.
And what's so funny is I actually got up to pee and I came back and I asked my wife, I was like, hey, what I missed? And then she's explaining how, like, apparently they're like sex trafficking girls and women to like replenish their all male pirate. I'm like, what? I was just like, what? Excuse me? What the fuck did I miss?
Yeah.
But that it goes nowhere. As far as that goes. So I was just like, okay, whatever.
I mean, yeah, the only like the only things that it really tied in was just why Kara and Ruthie were kind of locked up there for a minute and then at the end saving them. But I'm like, I don't know. It was could have done without that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's dark and I'm fine with adding like making the villains dark, but like we've seen we know Krim's the bad guy. We don't have to necessarily hammer him home,
right?
And I've heard rumors that supposedly someone who saw one of the like advanced screenings, like the test screenings before the movie even remotely was going to come out, and they were going to like cut things up, is that Krim had an origin story where he was apparently, I don't know if it was sex trafficked or just trafficked in general as a child, but they cut that from the movie. So I think this is one of those things where it was just kind of left over in the movie, and they needed it because it would explain why there's a bunch of like little girls like in a cage at the end of the movie. But it's very odd and it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
I think they needed it for another fight, big fight scene. Mm. Because like that we get that, and then you get to see a scene where Lobo actually fights. Like that was I feel like that was the majority of why that was there.
Yeah.
And it's I agree. It's not, like I said, I think you can cut a lot of that out and make this a special, and it probably be a better hit.
Yeah. I find the Ruthie character in the movie so much more annoying than the comic. And it's not because she says a lot of big words, is verbose, whatever you want to call it. She is so annoying about how like she just wants to kill Krim, and Kara's like, I gotta save my fucking dog, man. Like, I will get Krim, but girl, I need you to chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
I was upset because I never heard beloved father, blessed father, any of that stuff in her British accent that I was expecting, because that's how I read it. But we did get like beloved family, and I was like, no, it's just supposed to be your dad. It's not even supposed to be the rest of them. What are you doing?
Yeah. I really hate that they killed the entire family, because I was like, man, she has nobody to go back home to. And I know they probably changed that, so it's like, she's just like Kara.
Right.
And yeah, I just didn't like it. The other thing that I absolutely hate is them changing that she was not born on Krypton. She was born on Argo City after Krypton exploded.
Oh, yeah.
And I get that, like, your home can be wherever, but I like the idea that she grew up on Krypton. She knew what it looked like. She knew what it smelt like. She got to experience Krypton, like, as a normal day-to-day person, because it makes it that much more heartbreaking. The fact that she is born on a chunk of rock that is just killing everybody is just not as impactful to me.
Yeah.
Well, and I also feel like you missed a solid opportunity to sit there and give a glimpse at the next movie of Man of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
You had everything right there in the makings to sit there and show a glimpse of fucking Brainiac.
Yeah.
And have that seed planted, which is one of the biggest, like, issues that people have with Marvel right now. It's like, we don't know where the fuck we're going, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, DC could have done that. DC could have sat there and been like, wonder who that ship is? It's fucking Brainiac. Here's all the look, you know what I mean? And then now you got people interested in talking about fucking Brainiac.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything with it.
You could literally see the Brainiac ship, like, she's running home to her father, and she sees off in the distance the Brainiac ship, like, sucking up Kandor and miniaturizing it.
Yeah.
And something. Then flies off. And then it's like the comic book nerds like, oh, it's Brainiac. Like,
right.
Kind of moment.
No, I'd have been like, who is this?
And you could have had like her dad when he was talking about like it's the core is unstable because Brainiac, you know, when Brainiac stole Kandor, like that's mm-hmm. what really has all, you know, helped move this core reaction along. Like, I don't know. There was just so many openings to do it. But no, we took the time to sit there and say, you know, that Jor-El was sending the Conqueror to Earth.
Yeah.
Like, we took time to double down on that.
Mm-hmm. Like, I hate what I don't get that at all. Like, why they're doing that with Jor-El. And it's just weird to me. I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree. But like, I kind of like when they were doing the movie, I was like, okay, like maybe he's not meaning it in the sense of like he's going to conquer the Earth and be just the ruler of Earth. But the fact that, like, he just will be, like, more special than anybody else on the planet. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, how are you supposed to take the word fucking conqueror? Like, that's exactly. So I'm like, there's no real nice way of saying conqueror. Like,
maybe conqueror and Kryptonian mean something different. Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I was shocked that we got the Green Sun planet. I didn't think we'd get that for this movie.
Yeah.
I was too. Like, there was part of me that, like, again, was like interested to see what they were about to do whenever they brought that in. I was like, ooh, this is going to be kind of cool. See what happens and see if they were going to do anything that happens. And I get, like, that would have been a whole another thing to have the whole, all the dinosaurs or whatever kind of come mm-hmm. in. Like, that'd have been probably a little too much, but I think they did the way that they did it for the movie. I think they did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a complaint though, just because again, in the comic, they have the added benefit of the history of the DC and like, Clark has been out in space, has interacted with tons of people. So, like, people out in space know that Kryptonians, while they are mostly extinct, there is one or two running around. And sometimes it's good if you come across Kryptonite to have it. But in this movie, nobody fucking knows that Kryptonians are still alive. But Krim not only magically has Kryptonite arrows, but also he has found a green Kryptonite sun. Right. And I'm like, that's a bit coincidental. I'm sorry, but that's a bit coincidental. There were some plot holes in this movie that bugged me. Like, one of the ones was on the brigand hideout place. I don't know what to call it. It's the one where we learn about the child sex trafficking thing. And she's looking for Krim. He's like on a rooftop or somewhere in like the midst of all this stuff. And I was like, why isn't she using her X-ray vision? Mm-hmm. Like, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, find it. Like, you should find him instantly.
Well, and like, also he's talking. So why can't she hear him talk?
Yeah. That's
the other thing I was going to say too. Mm-hmm. She should be able to hear him. And yeah, like I wish they didn't, I don't know. It seemed like they didn't do as much with her extra powers like that as I would have hoped. Like, we didn't get one like little glimpse of her X-ray vision whenever she had the bag over her head, but you know, nothing. I mean, yeah, I think they could have done a lot more than just her laser vision and flying and super strength kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I wrote the showdown with Ruthie and Krim was just kind of lame and lackluster. Yeah. Like, yeah. I love how the comic, we get a showdown with Ruthie and Krim, and it seems pretty evenly matched, which is kind of cool. I get that this one wouldn't go as evenly matched considering all the stuff we've seen Krim do, and Ruthie is just like a child.
Yeah.
But I still would have liked some sort of showdown with them, and we kind of got one. I don't know. What we got was lame, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I agree, because I was kind of waiting for that myself, but at the same time, like you said, I mean, they made that comment in there of like how he's got the strength of 1,000 men or something like that. And I was like, well, I guess that kind of knocks out any kind of fight between him and Ruthie. But I wish that could have happened.
Yeah. That's kind of all my notes, really. The only thing that I kind of want to talk about is just, I think the acting is good. A lot of people keep saying that Millie Alcock is great as Supergirl. Hot take, I disagree. I don't think she's awful, but there was nothing, and maybe it's just how they told the story, but there was nothing in her that made me feel like this is Supergirl.
Yeah.
And it really disappointed me. Like, Momoa felt like Lobo. Like I said, he had to convince me, but eventually he felt like Lobo. I was fine with Krim. I don't get why people are saying that his acting was bad. Ruthie was fine. She was annoying, but she was fine. But yeah, Millie was okay. Like, all the scenes with her and Superman, it felt like Superman, but it didn't feel like Supergirl. And like, yeah, nitpicking, this is just comic nerd nitpicking, but like when she shows up to Earth, I was really annoyed where he's wearing the super suit and she's like, who are you? She should see that symbol and immediately go like, oh, it's Kal-El. You know, like, I know she asked, she's like, are you Kal-El? I'm like, she should know, because like, that is like, this is his house symbol and it is her house symbol, the house of El.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
she should know immediately. Oh, that's one of my kin.
Yeah.
And that was very nitpicky for me, but it was just like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like these comic book studios, or like when they're making the comic book movies, they need to hire, honestly, someone like me or y'all, like, just like, that is super duper, like almost autistic when it comes to comic books, and being like, no, they wouldn't do that. Like, I thought they did have someone like that on set, but clearly I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But that really bugged me.
Yeah.
What?
Well, with that bugging you, I think that more of a bigger thing than what I'm about to say, but it kind of threw me off, because if I remember right, in most iterations of Supergirl and Superman, Kara is supposed to be older.
Yes.
And so like, that's one of the conflicts between her and Superman, is that like, she's supposed to be, she was sent to Earth to actually watch after Kal-El because he was a baby. And so like, they both got launched, and hers hit a wormhole and shot her out somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's why it's delayed. And that's why Kal-El grew up faster than her. Mm-hmm. And so like, that was kind of the thing. She was supposed to be here and older to watch over him.
Right. And they changed that in this by doing the, like, she's born on Argo, like after the fact, right, that after the fact that Krypton exploded. Yeah, that's them just going, no, she's now younger. And yeah, I don't like that. I like the like space timey-wimey bullshit that like makes her younger than Superman. Because I like the idea of like, she's older, but she looks younger than Superman. I think that's, I don't know, it's just cool due to space stuff. But yeah, they just absolutely just 86 that, like, nope, that's gone. And I'm like,
right.
Why? Oh yeah.
So kind of like going back to the whole, when you're talking about, Millie Alcock as Supergirl. I mean, I wasn't like crazy about it either, but you know, maybe it may be the same. Like, I still don't understand this, but like, maybe she's in the same light as, for some odd reason, why Brie Larson wasn't liked at first. I think she nailed it in the first ad coming out of the gate as Captain Marvel. And now everybody likes her. Now everybody's finally caught up to it. I obviously don't have that with Millie Alcock, but.
Do people like her? I feel like people still hate Brie Larson.
No. Hey, I'm all living my little. My bubble? Little bubble here, yeah.
Your little Kryptonian bubble? Your little Brie Larson bubble?
Yeah.
Look, all I can give you is that she was better in the Marvels, okay? I can't do anything better than that, Jeremy. I really honestly can't.
Well, that leads me into the other thing that I wanted to talk about, is I do not think this movie, like, do I? I'm sorry.
You want to talk about Brie?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. You do enough talking for her. So. I wanted to talk about, like the Marvels, this movie is getting just absolutely dog shit panned. And
is it really?
Yeah. Like monetarily wise, cinema score, Rotten Tomato score, all like, it is just getting absolutely fucking panned. And like the Marvels, I don't understand why. Because I don't think that this was the best movie ever, and I don't think that this is the worst movie ever. I think it was pretty middle of the road okay. Yeah. But like, some numbers here. So apparently James Gunn had said that it needed $315 million to break even, but they needed $300 million worldwide just to consider it a win. Currently, literally like hours before getting on and doing this podcast, I looked it up. We are at 68 million worldwide.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's not good. To put in perspective, Madam Web made $15 million opening weekend. Morbius made $39 million opening weekend. So Morbius did $1 million better.
Good gosh.
I threw in some other ones just that are in the DC and so Superman, the David Corn Sweat Superman, made $125 million opening weekend. Man of Steel, the Henry Cavill, Man of Steel made $116 million opening weekend. Wonder Woman made $103 million opening weekend. Wonder Woman 1984, which is a dog shit of a movie, in my opinion, yeah, made $16 million. So again, it's beating those at least. The Marvels made $46 million. And while I do think The Marvels was like a decent movie and should not have received all the hate, I think this movie is better than The Marvels. Sorry, Jeremy.
Really?
I do. I think this is a better movie than The Marvels. The Marvels had a very like meh ending to me.
Yeah.
And I prefer this ending better. But I'm not saying it's like leaps and bounds better, but it's still better than The Marvels. I saw on Reddit and they did the work for me, but like CinemaScore. So on CinemaScore, this movie is one of DC's lowest ranked cinema scores.
Dang.
Wonder Woman got an A. Shazam got an A. Man of Steel got an A-. Superman got an A-. Suicide Squad got a B+. Justice League got a B+. Birds of Prey got a B+. Wonder Woman 1984 got a B+, which I have beef with that ranking.
That. No, this ranking's already messed up. There's no way that shit's got a B+. Right? Fuck off.
The Suicide Squad got a B+. Black Adam got a B+. Shazam! Yeah. Shazam! Fury of the Gods got a B+. Blue Beetle got a B+. Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice got a B. The Flash got a B. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom got a B. Supergirl got a B-. Joker Folie à Deux is one of the only ones that is below it.
That's and dumb.
Yeah, I'm like, while I don't necessarily agree that it's maybe better than some of these movies on here, I know it's better than Wonder Woman 1984. And I know it's better than just regular Suicide Squad, not the Suicide
better
Squad.
Better than The Flash. Way better than The Flash.
Yeah, I think it was better than The Flash. So
yeah,
I do not understand the hate that this movie is getting. I really just don't. And it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
It really does. Because like I said, after reading that comic, I really wanted this one to do well. Like I wanted, I wanted people to be able to see her like that and like actually have a good introduction to Supergirl. And yeah, it's disappointing.
But I think that's part of the problem. And you said something about it earlier as well. She's not Supergirl in this movie.
Yeah.
Like in the book, she was Supergirl.
Yeah.
Like you said, like teaching Ruthie a lesson, like making sure she didn't get herself killed and then like taking her all the way to the end because she's got nothing else better to do, really. And teaching her a lesson. Like, but that's not what we got. We didn't get Supergirl in this movie. We got, you know, a trauma origin story. And I feel like that's part of the problem is like when you go to see a super family movie, you're looking for colors, you're looking for hope, you're looking for like all those things. And this is totally somewhat opposite of all that stuff. And
because that was what I was telling my wife after the movie too. I was like, you know, trying to explain to her why I was a little disappointed in it. I was like, you know, in the comic, like Kara was just trying, like, you know, a simple thing of just showing her how to wash her hands. I mean, like, there was just things like that that was nowhere in this movie.
Yeah. There were really cool, tender moments in the comic book that I wanted to see in the movie, and we didn't get any of it. And Yeah, I mean, that's why I was shaking my head at the start when you're doing your whelming. You kind of nailed it. They missed the entire point of the comic, yeah, in my opinion. And again, like I said, I think maybe they're doing that because they want to establish that she's different, but they did it to the detriment of like making a good, likable movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the data shows all that, unfortunately.
Because there's plenty of, like, you know, what you were saying in the comic, like, it kind of leaves you to your own devices about as far as what state Krim is in. But everybody would have been okay with a Supergirl, super person that was okay with a quote unquote justified killing type, yeah, thing. Like, and she would have still been a good person. So it just, again, like I said, missed the mark.
Yeah. A lot of people want like a Superman that kills. So I don't understand why they don't want, like, they could have gotten their cake and eaten it too in this case with yeah, Supergirl.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I don't think I do.
Hmm.
Don't want a super person to kill?
Yeah, not like I feel like I've got plenty of that in other characters, and I feel like I need the super, like, I feel like I need the super family to be like that wholesome family.
Yeah. That's what, like, I've been screaming about since day one.
And I feel like that's kind of my beef, or that's some of my beef with this, because, like, as a girl dad or whatever, like, you know, especially my youngest, mm-hmm, she, like, she's blonde hair, blue eyed, like, mm-hmm, she's all about some Supergirl, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I made the wrong choice, and I took her to this movie.
Uh-oh.
Right. Uh-oh. So I was having to, like, pull out my best, like, 80s dad moments of, like, oh, can't see that.
Yeah.
Put my hand over her eyes, because, mm-hmm, you know, there's lots of stabbing in this movie, yeah, that I, yeah, was not anticipating, honestly. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's another thing that DC has done bad, that I like, don't get me wrong, I like adult, like, comic book stuff. However, it feels like all of DC's stuff lately has been adult comic book stuff, and there's not family comic book stuff. And I'm even going with Superman just because of the language that's in it, really. Because, like, when I was taking, you know, my kids to go see Superman, I was like, it's Superman. Like, there's, you know, like, there may be a little bit, but there's not going to be enough. But you got, you know, Mr. Terrific saying, I'm GD Mr. Terrific, and there's a lot of shits, and there's a couple of Fs, you know, a couple fucks. And so it's like, okay, maybe I made the wrong choice again.
Yeah.
So, but now I'm looking and I'm like, Creature Commandos, I can't, like, my kids ain't seeing that.
No,
like, absolutely not. You know what I mean? And then, like, Peacemaker. No, my kids are not seeing that. No, absolutely not. So Superman, I was like, it's a movie and it's Superman. And, yeah, like, that's the other thing. These movies are hitting that PG-13 where it's like, some are okay, some are not, and you don't know. And so that's another reason why I think this would have done better as a special, is because I would have known better. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, like, that's a me call. Don't get me wrong. I understand it's a me call, but, mm-hmm, still, I would have felt better. And I'm just getting to the point where I'm realizing, like, I can't take my kids to go see DC stuff. Yeah. I can't rely to take my kids to see DC kids stuff, because, like, Lanterns is coming out. My kids aren't going to watch Lanterns.
Yeah.
Like, even if they were a Lanterns fan, which actually my youngest, like, she's into DC stuff. She's got a Hal Jordan. It's a big Hal Jordan. She carries him around.
No.
But, like, I'm not going to let her watch Lanterns. That's not going to be made for her. You know what I mean?
Well,
And
that's, like, the thing that bugs me is, like, you know, even before Gunn came over, I mean, like, and it was even darker, it seemed like, whenever, before he came over. And, like, you thought with him, and, you know, his success with Guardians, like, it would bring a little bit more of a happier, like, brighter kind of feel to it. But it just hasn't quite gotten there yet. I mean, like, it may be up there a little bit, but, I mean, not as dark. But I don't know. It's like, DC has to be dark for some reason right now.
I wouldn't say it's as dark. It's gotten brighter, but it's still, you know, adult themed. I do agree with Michael saying that, because it's James Gunn. Like, he got his start in trauma films. He made Romeo and Juliet. It's gory, it's raunchy, it's cuss laden. So even, like, back when he was doing Guardians, he's very crude humor. So I can see that. I'm not saying he should stay that way, but I do see the problem. I do agree that like Superman should be one of these. He doesn't actually cuss in it. Like he won't even say right. like what the hell. Like yeah, I remember him saying what the hey man.
But, right.
But everyone else around him does, and
right.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And yeah, with another Supergirl, I like, they're supposed to be the lawful good, the hokey, you know, the Captain America, the like, gee, golly willikers. Like,
yeah.
But again, I kind of just keep repeating it. I think they wanted to change it for this, and right. it is to the detriment to this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, I could keep going on that, but it'd just be another
just going in circles.
So, I made
a rinse
point.
And repeat kind of yeah. thing.
Yeah, right. Because I feel like he did make Guardians. Like I could sit and watch Guardians with my kids. Yeah. Like I know the third one has got, you know, oh, push the fucking button. But you know what I mean? From Chris yeah. Pratt.
Open the fucking
but
door.
Like, that's you're right. But that's really it. Like there's really not a whole lot of language in those. So and there's not like the whole stabby and all that other kind of jazz, really. So
you made me think of I thought with PG-13 movies, you're allowed one F word. And I thought we were going to get Ruthie saying fuck in this. And her being
they
like...
They wasted it all on shits.
Yes,
they yeah, did. They really did. But yeah, they didn't use it. I thought for sure. And the other thing I didn't like is I like the line in the comic books where she flies up behind Krim and she's like, Krim of the Yellow Hills, I'm, you know, Kara Zor-El, Supergirl, and you shot my fucking dog. And this yeah. one, she says the line about how, like, I'm the bitch whose dog you shot. And it yeah. was just a yeah. very, like, lackluster delivery. And I didn't like the line in general. So I was just like, that's lame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when she's supposed to have this, like, Supergirl come out moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she just called herself a bitch. And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Cool. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, is there anything else y'all think of that could have made this movie better? As far as like outside, like for instance, I honestly think if we wanted to keep the stuff, we could have stuck with Tom King's story and done an 8-episode mm-hmm. HBO Max series. Yes. And that would have been much better than what we
Man,
got,
yeah.
in
I would,
my opinion.
If they'd have gave it like a Game of Thrones treatment where they throw like a shitload yeah. of money at it and it's like 8 episodes. Fuck, I would love that.
Yeah. I think a lot more people would have loved it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I 100% agree. I was going to say the thing to make it better is, sorry, but get rid of the writer.
Yeah. I'm curious to know because, again, some people will say like, oh, it's the director's fault. Oh, it's the writer's fault. Sometimes it's just it got fucked up in editing. It got fucked up with, you know, a producer was interfering too much. That's not the case with this one. I don't know. We'll find out much later in the future. I'm sure somebody will eventually tell that information of what happened here. But currently I'm like y'all, I'm worried for Teen Titans. I'm worried for Wonder Woman. I don't really care much about the Titans. I like the cartoon, like the silly cartoon back in the day. Yeah. But comic book wise, I've never been a big fan of the Titans. I like Wonder Woman, so I'm very worried about Wonder Woman. So I'm like, oh, y'all got to get that right, y'all.
Yeah. Like, that's got to get nailed right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Absolutely. That's part of the whole DC Trinity. Yeah, so, like, that's got to be nailed right.
Exactly. I'm like, she is one of the Trinity, so you have got to fucking nail that.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll learn. Yeah. Maybe the writer, whoever, will learn from this one and kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit.
Honestly, in my opinion, I you know, everyone who's been saying like fire gun for XYZ, I am not there yet, but Superman did okay. It didn't do great, but it did okay. Peacemaker was not well received. I liked it pretty much up until the ending. I didn't really like the ending. This one has been, again, okay. So I'm like, he's got to knock it out of the park for Lanterns. Otherwise, I don't see myself defending him anymore. Right. And it's concerning. I'll be honest with you. It's very concerning.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think it's time to bring out Batman. like full stop. It is a break glass in case of emergency and bring out Batman.
Yeah.
Like, it is time. We need to know who he's casting as Batman and what the next Batman movie, and it better not be Robert Pattinson, because I fucking love that movie, but he cannot be the Batman of this universe.
See, I've heard conflicting reports that he wants Pattinson.
Well, that's really dumb. And
yeah,
that's a really dumb move.
I think we could have more fun with a different Batman. I like what Matt Reeves does, and I'm excited to see what happens in this next Batman installment,
mm-hmm.
especially since he's trying to get Sebastian Stan, who's the Winter Soldier in Marvel, to come over and do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scarlett Johansson as well. Like, he's getting some really cool cast members, so I don't know. But yeah. I don't know that I necessarily want that Batman here.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Cool. Well, y'all got anything else?
No, nope. I'm good.
That's it.
Awesome. Well, we are going to be heading back to Black and White. Well, maybe. I don't know. It depends on what Jeremy's feeling like at whatever moment in time during an episode. Spider-Man Noir, and finish that series up next week. So until then, Jeremy, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitch under the handle NightFuryGTO. That's Night with a K. And you can find me here.
Awesome. Richard?
If you want to contact me directly, I have an X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram, a Blue Skies, and a Threads. My handle is Night Curry, Night like day and night, and Curry with a K. If you want to contact us directly, we have a Gmail. Our Gmail is comicallycomicspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check us out on YouTube, possibly TikTok, we'll see, and Instagram, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics Podcast. And if you want to check us out on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics with an X.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram, eBay, and Shortbox, 22_comics. You can also find me on YouTube at 22comics. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed as much as we did making it. With all being said, say goodbye, Bassnitch.
What?
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Jeremy. Bye.